good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whenever you are. Thank you for tuning in. This is The Asian Highway. You're back on Storytellers with Action. This is Season 2, Episode 5. We have our good friend in here today. Her name is Nadia. We're going to chat with her about the things she does in Hollywood. She's an entertainment attorney, I want to say based out of Santa Monica, right? But before I get to her, this is your host, Pimo. Welcome back to H1, as always. Want to rope in my two co-hosts here, Debesh Das and Gina Tang. Hello.
Hello.
What's up, Gina? How you doing?
Good. I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. How about you, Nadia?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Barimol?
Oh, I was about to say, you're going to forget about me, huh?
I'm
doing okay.
I was saving the worst for last.
You little.
Why, you? Is Matt Groening listening? Maybe he can help us out.
Right.
The Homer Simpson reference.
Yeah, right. So before we get to Nadia, I want to just give a setup, remind people where we are. This is season we're talking about identity and our favorite.
Where are you from?
No, really? Where are you from? I'm not letting you finish that, man.
Gina's like cracking up here. She's turning like a red tangy tomato.
I am the same color as a microphone.
Because we can all see exactly when people raise their hands apparently in here and different colors we turn.
Yeah.
We're learning as we go along, Nadia. This is a very sophisticated outfit.
So. Let's learn about Nadia. That's why she's here.
Absolutely. Right. Nadia, right. Please tell us about yourself.
Yeah. Hello, everyone.
So let's start with this question we ask everybody, and we're going to ask you. Where are you from? No, really, where are you from?
West LA.
Love that answer. Best answer.
All right,
ever.
Episode over. Great, thanks for coming. Yeah.
No, episode is not over.
We're just getting started.
It's interesting you said West LA. It's an answer we actually love to hear because we're from here, right? I mean,
is that on this continent, by the way?
It is.
Okay.
Okay, so context of what he just said, last episode we talked about.
Last couple of episodes,
We talked about a lady who called me and said, basically, clearly, because of your last name, you're not native to North America. I mean, that was her line to me. And I'm like, I'm born in Bellflower? It's a Southern California LA suburb? I think I'm native to here. So I actually want to ask you, how do you deal with people who are confused in where you're from and accuse you of not being from here? What's kind of your way of handling that?
Well, I don't really get that.
Right.
But if you are asking me, mm-hmm. if somebody hypothetically mm-hmm. happened, what would I say? Where else would I be from?
Mm-hmm.
I was raised in California, and mm-hmm. I live here, and this is home, and mm-hmm. my friends are here, so mm-hmm. I wouldn't know how. House.
Right. Well, and that's kind of my same perspective. Yeah. I mean, Debesh, same with you.
Yeah.
Gina, to say, as well as you, because I mean, even though you were not born in this country, you were raised here.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I mean, you spent most of your life here, right?
Yeah, so, I'm naturalized U.S. citizen. So,
right.
Yeah.
So you're
like, a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Exactly.
How much of a problem do you think this is, though, in the Hollywood? I mean, do you see a lot of questions of misrepresentation amongst people you may have talked to, represented? I mean, what is the I guess, the interaction?
I really haven't had it,
mm-hmm.
To be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because people can tell, or I blend in, for better or for worse.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't personally had much of that.
Sure.
And, or maybe I've been lucky. I've been around people who are not, they don't discriminate. Maybe that's why. But I see where you know, if you want to talk about what does the word native mean?
Right.
Then should we go all the way back to Native Americans?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because everybody else not native?
Mm-hmm.
That's a valid point.
It's a very valid mm-hmm. point, yeah.
Right. So whose land is it? Or are we just identifying people who are white as native? So if somebody came from Europe and recently and became naturalized, are they still doubted as being an American?
Right.
Are we drawing it based on race?
Mm-hmm.
Is this where this is stemming from? Or is it how we perceive ourselves and how we identify ourselves? Or is it where we were raised? Or the cultural values we hold? How do you identify?
Mm-hmm.
What is your criteria?
Right.
Or is it based on what citizenship you hold,
mm-hmm.
or is it a combination of those things?
Sure.
So, I tend to think it's mostly about how one identifies oneself.
Sure, sure. So, Jenny, you want to jump in with any questions you guys have?
That is so true. I mean, what is the definition of Native, especially in a country like ours? Everything is just like a melting pot, you know? So what do you identify? I mean, who do you identify with? So I agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. The best.
So with the Native question, and I kind of like that we are playing this, we get different answers, we get different insights. So thank you for your insight. Is there a set of ways to properly answer that question? I know in previous guests we said, should we be militant in our answer to get the point across, or do we let that question slide if we get it? I'm curious, is there a way to appropriately answer that question in a standardized form to kind of any time you run into that question? Is there a standardized answer for something like that?
I don't think there's a standardized question or answer. I mean, it's case by case, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what would you chime in on that, Gina? Is it a case by case or?
Yeah, it's definitely a case by case.
Nadia?
Yeah.
Well, I just want to know what the point of that question is. Why are you asking me that question? I mean, not you, but mm-hmm. the person who's asking, where are you from or are you a native?
Yeah. So the context was, there was a woman, I think, who was leaving feedback on an article that Barimal had written about sea lions. And
so she was trying to make an analogy of how humans in the ocean aren't native to the ocean. It's where the sea lions live. Just like you, Barimal, you're not from this country because your name doesn't fit in here. You're not native to here, just like humans aren't native to the ocean. That was her weak analogy.
Right. I was just going to say the logic of that defies me.
Yeah.
Of that.
Yeah, it defies me too. I mean, you're 100% right. But this is the point, right? Is that we deal – I mean, there are people out there who do talk this way to us. They see someone who's different, who's not one of them.
But I don't even know what different is. Different than whom?
Different from that, from her, I
guess. Different from her.
From her frame of reference.
Her frame of reference, yes.
From her frame of reference.
From my frame of reference, she may be different.
Right.
Absolutely. Exactly.
So is she native to America?
I didn't know her name, so how would I know? I don't know. My frame of reference, can't answer that for you.
So it boils down to frame of reference, right? Like if I think, you know what, like everyone in this country, their name should either be John Smith or Jane Smith. Mm-hmm. Anyone that falls outside of that, based on that frame of reference, is not native.
We're according to people whose names are John
or Jane Smith, right? Yeah.
But I mean, that's a very succinct analogy. But I mean, that's kind
but
of
I'm sure if
thing.
You went onto Native American people's territories, they'd feel the same. They would feel the same about Jim, Jack, or Joe, or Paramount.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. 100% agree with you. 100% agree with you. And that's really why we're trying to like have this is the point of the podcast this season. We're talking about all these kinds of people that have these assumptions.
I think they're self anointed, right?
Yes, that's a very fair statement to make. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I could just as well turn around and tell her, you know, your name is odd to me.
Yeah,
right. I'm American.
Which is what I would. Which I mean, this was a voicemail. Had I had her on the phone live with me, I would have turned around and said the same thing. Like, well, what is your name? How do I know your name is not native to this land?
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, I mean, look, I've gone through situations. My name is Debesh. It's 6 letters, 2 syllables. Right.
Right. Not that hard.
It's not that hard. At least to me, it's not that hard, right? Debesh. I've had people call me Deborah. I've had people do all kinds of things, or they mispronounced that name when they have no problems pronouncing Bartholomew or Jonathan, which all have more syllables and letters than my name.
Or Coach Krzyzewski at Duke. You can't even see that from his name.
But, you know, and a lot of times me being my sarcastic self sometimes when they come to me and say, oh, that's I'm sorry, that's kind of a difficult name. And then I kind of comment back and say, oh, sorry, my name's not Bob, you know, I can't help you, you know. But, you know,
so
if they come from another country, then
let me
their
ask
name
you.
Is not, mm-hmm. you know.
Had you had a, quote-unquote, I guess, a Christian name, perhaps?
Sure. Or Anglo name, whatever.
Anglo name.
Sure.
Would you still get the same question?
Probably not. No. And
if it was not face to face,
right?
Not.
And we've, and I mean, Gina and or Brian can jump in with this as well. Like, I know we've grown up with other, say, Indians who have Christian
Indians,
names.
Wait,
like Indian Americans,
like me and Debesh
like Asia
from
India,
right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
have...
Well, you're not from India. You're from America.
My roots are from India. Right. I'm from here, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So other Indian Americans...
Born in America.
That are born in this country, mm-hmm. that are just like me and Parimal in that sense, who have names like Dick or Harry or Bob or whatever. And some
Anglo
of them might
names.
Be Catholic.
Right. There's Indians,
right, and there are Indian Americans who are Catholic, right? I have a good friend. His name is Bernard, right? That's his God, his family, his parents gave him that name, Bernard.
I have a friend named Clarence.
Right.
He's also brown.
And right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for them, it's interesting because they have that Catholic name or the Christian name, but then a lot of times their middle name might be more of a Hindu name or something like that. So for them, you know, it's kind of like they may not necessarily run into that until they meet like in a one-on-one, like face-to-face, where now all of a sudden, okay, your name is John, but you don't look like who I thought a John would look like.
Right. Gina,
does that make sense?
That happens to me.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
when I, okay, I'm in sales. I'm a real estate broker. So when I speak to people on the phone, you can tell I have barely any accent, right? Mm-hmm. Hi, my name is Gina. So a lot of people just think I'm this white girl, okay?
You're not white?
Exactly. Right. So I show up. And they sometimes do a little kind of a double take. They go, oh, hi, you know. So they go, she's Asian, you know. So, oh, yeah, that happens a lot.
So, Gina, let me ask you, do you get this mainly from white people towards you, or do you get it from non-white Americans who may not be of Asian background?
I get that from everybody.
You get,
so you
that,
get that from Asians
that
as well.
From, oh, yeah, because a lot of Asians, when they speak to me on the phone, they think I'm just a regular, who they think, what they perceive, what they perceive as someone
versus
sounding
irregular,
like this,
right?
Yeah, versus an alien. So. Right? No, that happens.
So,
I've had.
So here's really what my question is. So you think within or intra racial subgroups, mm-hmm. there is a bias towards, you know, there is a perceived sense of superiority with quote-unquote white people versus them, self-hate sort of a thing?
You know what I think is happening? A lot of people think that Asians speak with an accent, because a lot of Asians do. Even some of the first generation, second generation, I don't know why that is. But anyhow, I just don't happen to speak with one that's maybe a little bit heavier. So I think that's just it. So when they hear me, they think, they perceive me as whatever this voice sounds like.
So let me ask you, what difference does it make?
To them, sometimes I feel like it does. Yeah, to them. When they talk to me, I can sense that they're bonding with me in a certain way. Then when I see that I'm Asian, they kind of pull back. Because they think that Asians have a certain perception or stereotype of how Asian people are when it comes to doing business. So
other Asians with you,
other Asians with me, I've had other races react to me the same way. Yeah, it's just like a stereotype.
Let me ask you this, Nadia, with a name like Nadia, and Nadia is a very international name.
Mm.
So do you run into any of those kind of situations where like they may have maybe gotten a correspondence from you through email or something, and then they actually meet you in person, and maybe there was very minimal phone conversation?
And before you answer, can you share your last name?
Davari.
Okay, so answer the question now. Yeah.
They can't tell what I am.
Okay.
People think I'm Italian, Spanish. Where I mean, even when I travel, wherever I am, people think I'm native. Well, mm-hmm. except for I haven't been to Africa. But if I'm in France, people think I'm French. If I'm in Italy, people think I'm Italian. If I'm in, you know, South America, people, I'm from there. You know, wherever I am, people,
you're from there.
I'm from there.
and where would you, just for reference for the people who can't see you right now, where are your roots from?
From Iran.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, going back to the question, when somebody comes back and asks you, where are you originally from? What is original mean? Number one. Number two, why are you asking? What sort of stereotypes are you bringing with mm-hmm. it? And how are you trying to categorize? Where are you going? Exactly what is the reason for that question?
Yeah, we actually brought that up in a two episodes ago, where mm-hmm. sometimes it's a matter of people want to know how to treat you.
Mm-hmm.
To
Gina's point. Right.
They want to know, do I treat you with a sense of like respect or disrespect? This happens among even within Indians, for example. And we said this happens among Chinese as well, where just there's classes, right? Like, if I know what your caste is and what your name is and what your village you're from, I could treat you better or worse than what I am. It's just really, it is a true form of self-hate, yeah, I think.
And it's a form of putting people into categories or boxes or mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, because I think there's some people that function that way to make sense of the world.
Or just to make themselves feel better about where they sure. are in the world, for whatever that means.
So, Nadia, let me get a follow-up question. And me and Parimal were talking about this before we came in here. I had a friend in medical school who was originally from Iran. But if I ever said...
Originally, his parents or he was from Iran? What do you mean originally?
I don't know. Either his parents were or he was. I don't remember which is the case. But that's not the point. The point I'm asking here is if I had ever referred to him as Persian,
yeah.
he would get very offended because he would say, Persian, that means that you're referring to Iran, you're referring to Afghanistan, and people from anywhere between those two areas technically means Persian, but I like to call myself as Iranian or Iranian American. Do you see a similar sort of thing?
So this is an interesting point. I think people who came here during the post the revolution 1979 mm-hmm. and the hostage crisis, they were trying to get away from the word Iran because of the negative connotations and associations. So they started calling themselves Persian. But to actually, I'm not a historian, so what I say with a grain of salt, but I think it's pretty much accurate as far as I know with my limited knowledge of the topic. Persian, which is from the word Parsi,
mm-hmm.
Which when the Arabs came and attacked Iran, they took out the word, the letter F from the alphabet because they don't have it, right. became Farsi, mm-hmm. which is really Parsi, which is Persian.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to talk about the Persian Empire. In the sense of Persian Empire, yes, it encompasses quite a large area. Now, Sometime in the recent history, the Shah changed the name and they wanted to get away from the bad connotations of the how ironic of the word Persia to Iran, which means the land of the Aryans.
Right.
Which, you know, it's those white people who went into two the Caucasians sure. right. that split. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And right. some of them even went to India, mm-hmm. right?
Exactly.
And then they came and populated the area. And... he changed it to called it Iran. Now, Pars is also an ethnic group within Iran, right? So there are a lot of Iranians who are not Pars,
mm-hmm.
right? Even part of the Parsis, the Zoroastrians came to
that
India.
Went to India, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You call them the Pars,
right? Or right? we call them Parsis, yeah.
Parsis,
yeah.
which yeah. means the Persians, correct. Really. Or the yeah. Fars,
yeah.
right? So Iran has different ethnicities. It has the Persians or the Parsis, mm-hmm. and it has the some of the Turks and the Lors and the Kurds and everybody else. So to call them Persian in the sense of Pars is a misnomer
mm-hmm.
because it's a bunch of different groups who live in this geographical area that at one point was Persian Empire, as right. your friend correctly pointed out, mm-hmm. that went all the way to Afghanistan,
yeah.
a great part of Russia, mm-hmm. what became USSR, all the way to into the Ottoman Empire and yeah. all those areas. So I think he's correct in calling it Iran, which is the land of all those people who live in that geographical area.
And that would count like all the different ethnicities?
Yeah, exactly.
If, okay.
Exactly.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
So let's put this on a broader scale and bring it back home here to the United States, and specifically where in the space you work in. You work in entertainment. What kind of clients do you specifically have? Let's start with that. Who do you work with primarily?
Okay. Well, I've had changes in my career. Okay. I started out as a talent attorney,
mm-hmm.
so I represented talent. And then I went to the studio side. So I worked for a studio. Then I worked for various production companies,
mm-hmm.
and then I now I represent talent and production companies and reality TV stars,
sure.
reality TV mm-hmm. Companies, anybody who's in that space, even digital distributors, distribution companies, sales agencies. It's been quite a few years I've been doing this, so it comes your way.
Yeah. And how did you get started in this? I mean, what was your personal buildup? I mean, if you go back as far as you want, childhood, college, law school, wherever.
Well, I was pre-med. Uh-huh. I was a molecular biology major at UCLA. I was mm-hmm. supposed to go to medical school. And I just didn't – that wasn't something that I wanted to do. I couldn't stay up night.
Did the physics and chemistry kill you? Is that what?
No, I actually took the MCATs and I did well and I got a very good GPA. I just couldn't stay up late at night and I couldn't have the shifts that you guys have. I knew that. I couldn't stay up for those 48-hour shifts.
So then you went to law school.
So then I went to law school. Mm-hmm. And then the classes that I liked were the ones that were very logical, kind of like science. My brain was still scientifically mm-hmm. wired. Mm-hmm. I think we've had this discussion before.
We have, yes. Mm-hmm.
And so one of the classes was entertainment law, was taught by some of the best entertainment lawyers in town. Mm-hmm. And it was a kind of a mix of my interests. So I started working in entertainment law while I was still in school. And it is a very competitive field and very hard to get into. It's almost like, well, I would say harder than winning the lottery. Mm. And I've done.
Yeah. So where do you kind of see Hollywood today? I mean, we hear so much about, you know, Oscars so white or whatever.
Yeah.
What kind of identity issues, and from the storytelling perspective, do you see is lacking in Hollywood or is working very well in Hollywood, just in terms of telling the stories of all of us from different perspectives? What do you see?
I think it's about... ultimately is about how the quality of your work and how well you do and mm-hmm. how much you believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to believe in yourself.
Right.
And no matter what ethnicity you are or what your background, it's difficult. And it would be easy to say, well, I don't come from this privileged background, so that's why I'm failing. Mm-hmm. I think that's just giving yourself an easy way out. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot about perseverance and dedication, really just hard work.
Yeah.
In any aspect of entertainment.
Sure.
Even as a lawyer. Mm-hmm. It's a hustle. It was a daily hustle. I could have had it a lot easier and much easier mm-hmm. had I picked another area of law
okay.
than what I did. But that's what I wanted to do.
Sure.
And every time I try to veer off, it's kind of like in my blood.
Yeah, it comes back to you.
It follows me no matter what
sure.
I do.
Yeah.
So, as far as trying to answer your question, I think you just got to do the best you can and not give up mm-hmm. and kind of make your own path. Mm-hmm. Make your own content. And I've spoken about this before. And make the best content you can.
Right.
You know, I was watching something on Charlie Chaplin and how many times he would try and how many different versions of something he would do. Mm-hmm. This is Charlie Chaplin, you know? So it's no different from anyone else. It doesn't matter what you look on the outside. The work, it is what it is. You're going to have to put it in.
Right. And hey, look, the four of us here, we're four different professions. I mean, you're in law, you're in medicine, Gina, you're in real estate, I'm in journalism, and none of us are the same background. Even among us, we're different.
Yeah.
And yet we're all... I would say all four of us are successful in what we do because, like you said, we worked hard, we persevered, we made our own path, we did our own thing. I mean, would Gina and Dibesh, would you agree with that?
I agree.
Or if you don't, add in someone else.
Yeah, I agree, especially in real estate. It is a hustle. So, yeah, in real estate, definitely.
Yeah, I think across the board, I mean, there's two things. It's working hard and it's also working smart. And that's something that I've kind of embraced for quite a while. I had a question for you, Nadia. You know, in the way you kind of discussed the trials and tribulations, the hard work that you've had to put in, like you were saying how doing entertainment law is akin to winning the lottery and kind of setting yourself up there with your clientele. Do you have any extra challenges coming into that field as, say, because you're a woman or you know, any other issues like
that?
Yeah,
I think it's more than the race issue. It's the female issue, the gender issue. I mean, look, we've had a black president, but we can't get a female president, right?
And she did win the popular vote, no matter what everybody says, right?
No one cares about the popular vote.
Right? And she still can't get in.
Mm-hmm. She still can't get in, and all the negativity that she faces, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think the bigger challenge is being a woman than having a different race. So, but even then, you know, I was raised with two boys, and my parents never made me feel like a girl. It was never even a part of my conscience thinking, you know. It was just me. So I think it's you have to make up your mind that somebody said this to me once. It was a friend of mine when I was in college. You have to make up your mind that you want it, and you have to be able to be willing to make sacrifices for it. I wasn't willing to sacrifice sleep for medical school.
Right.
I mean, I knew myself. I knew I couldn't stay up. I would make mistakes. I wouldn't be effective. I wouldn't be able to perform as well as I would want to. So I knew that in myself. So I think it also takes a honest self-assessment.
Yeah.
So what are you willing to give up? I gave up money to be able to do what I do.
Right.
You know, I would have made a lot more. A lot of people won't want to do that.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. I want to tie this to a conversation we had before we went on air, and in the context of working hard and perseverance, and we were talking about this line of the universe tends to unfold as it should. I personally think there's an association that if you put in the work, the things you want will happen. But as long as you're persistent enough when that, and you're patient enough. So I want to talk about, you know, the universe unfolding as it should. And we had a little debate as to what that means. So Dimesh, why don't you set up this conversation and we'll take it from there.
So the universe tends to unfold as it should is, it's sort of, it's almost like a running joke, but at the same time, it's also something we use in serious conversations that I have with my friends. And it's actually a line from Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, which came out in 2004, starring Cal Penn and John Cho. It's a great movie if you haven't seen it. If you haven't seen it, then please watch it.
15 years after that.
No spoilers here, but there is a scene where there is an incarcerated African-American man who's kind of been bullied and put in jail, and John Cho's character, you know, talks about art, you know, don't you get annoyed that you get bullied and you're in this situation? And this gentleman's response is, you know what, people will get what's coming to them. And the way I see it, the universe tends to unfold as it should. And for some reason, even though that movie is generally thought of as a stoner film, which it is a great stoner film, that was my takeaway from the entire film, because that actually sets the characters up to do what they need to do to resolve their conflict in the film. And so,
which is to get to a burger joint.
Yes. And the universe did eventually unfold in that way for them. But the idea is I extracted that from that film, and I sort of started applying that to my real life. And those who know me very well, I tend to use that when things go well or if things don't go well. It's sort of an even keel sort of way to look at things. And I have friends that don't necessarily always agree with it, but they know that that's sort of my take on things.
So with that, actually, Gina, I first want to get your thoughts on what you think about that.
So do we create our own luck? Is that how
it kind of... That's what this question is about. Yeah, is that kind of like this? Yeah.
Okay, so in other words, I think Oprah Winfrey one time said something like, yes, we do, because if you work hard enough and if you really hustle, then that means luck is more about being at the right place at the right time, right?
Yeah.
So if you work hard enough, eventually the cosmic forces will get you to the right place when you're at the right place at the right time. So does that...
So there's a few, and that's a great question. There's a few things that play into it. There's a certain set of things that you have to either agree with or say, okay, I can, that is understood as part of that statement. Part of, like, you're talking about cosmic forces or the universe, things like that basic premise, right? So the way I see it, I don't necessarily know if this answers that question that you asked, but when you say the universe tends to unfold as it should, it's really more about you're putting in all this energy, right? The reality is, and I've seen this in my life, Barimla, I know you and I have talked about mm-hmm. this, you may put in a lot of effort and energy towards a certain goal. Sometimes, though, in life, the output that you get doesn't always necessarily match what you had envisioned. The way you get something out of it may not come the way you thought it would. And so that's where really that statement comes in, where the universe tends to unfold. Like if I wanted to be a pastry chef, right? But then here I am now working in public health in a hospital, you know, and I'm very happy doing it. Then I say, you know what? There was a time, like when I was a kid, I wanted to be a truck driver when I was like 5 years old, right? That didn't pan out for me. And here I am working in public health and right. whatever, right? Mm. But in my mind, the universe unfolded as it should. And maybe this was the route I was supposed to go down.
So it's basically a long short of it. It's you're meant to be where you're meant to be. So yeah. I want to bring this back to Nadia. And what do you think of the statement? We were having a little debate about this. And chime in of what you think about this kind of
I'm not goal. Sure if I agree.
Great.
Yeah,
that's so, why we're talking.
So where do you fall on this, and what is your luck or your
so the children who are starving, mm-hmm. who have no access to any opportunity, they have no opportunities. The universe is folding as it should for them.
There are some who would say yes to that, and so I to answer your question on that, this is where I do think there's some human control in all this. Yeah. Is I'd like to think of it as there are people who would be able to help those people not be as hungry as they are. So the universe allow that person to help this person if...
Or maybe not cause the hunger to begin with.
That's also another way to look at it, yes.
Yeah.
That's why I kind of fall somewhere between. You know, Dabesh, you know, right. You and I have had this thing where I didn't always buy that as well.
Right,
I
mean, right.
In general, I do, but
yeah.
I do think there is such a thing as making your own luck.
Of course.
And you could go out there and control certain situations.
Right.
There's one of my favorite lines from a song. It's from a Danny Elfman song. It's, I could deal with fate, but it's the little things that drive me crazy.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, you know, there's general fate, which is your general direction in life and where, you know, whatever may happen will happen. But there are little day-to-day things that you can't control and, mm-hmm. and you can change. So I do think there is room, despite the universe, to go out there and say, hey, you know what? There are people that are in need of help. I could help them. Or I could do things to make sure that those people aren't put in harm's way.
And the unfolding yeah. is one of those things that, like, just because something unfolded doesn't mean that that's the end of the story.
Mm-hmm. True.
And the unfolding is going on as long as the physical universe exists
right.
still.
As long as you're alive, right? Yeah. So you want to add anything more to that?
So the bombs falling on innocent people?
That's, again... with the universe, I'm not saying that I can answer for all the atrocities or all the tragedies or things like that with that statement, because I think when that statement is said, it's more of a subjective thing. And so when I say the universe tends to unfold as it should, in more times than not, it's more if I'm looking at it from my own perspective and in things that are happening in my life, or if he's telling me something in his life. Or what have you. I don't know that that's necessarily the best way to look at it if you're looking at everything that's happening to everybody in the world all throughout
the world. So actually, I think I perfectly understand where Nadia is. This is how I'd probably actually agree with you on one thing is, you know, it might be to say the universe tends and folds as it should might be a position of privilege to say.
Yeah.
Like, because we're in a position of where we are, we could say that.
Right.
Had we been in a position where we're living on some, you know, dirt road in some other foreign country, would we say the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
No, we wouldn't. And how many people have been in a situation where that's exactly... Our dads, for example, yeah. right? Where they could have taken this position where, yeah, you know what? The universe put me in a little village in the middle of Gujarat or Bangladesh or Bengal, and this is where I'm going to stay. But mm-hmm. they said, screw that. I'm going to go to the United States and make a better life for myself. They literally took the bull by the horns and did make their lives better. Despite whatever fate might have
right.
been in their life. So I would say that, you know, to counter the, you know, that idea, and this could also help shape people's identity,
mm-hmm.
Of, you know, sometimes it is like, hey, you and I aren't in a position where we have the luxury to say that.
Right.
And to Nadia's point, there are people out there who don't have the luxury. And what about them?
Right.
Those are people who are struggling to find their own place in the world for whatever reason, be it getting food on the table,
staying alive,
right. Whatever. There are real struggles, and not everybody has it the way we do. We could come in here on a Wednesday evening and have a chat about this because we can.
Right. Absolutely.
We're privileged.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of where I fall on that, if that makes any sense.
And I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add to that, Nadia?
No, I would put it in the same way.
Yeah. Okay. Gina, you want to throw something else in there?
No, that's good.
Okay.
Everyone's done talking about the universe.
So where do we take this universe now? I mean, Nadia, what's up front for you? What's the future hold for you? What would you like to see changed and addressed? What issues are near and dear to your heart?
Do we really want to get in?
Sure.
Absolutely. This is why we're here.
We're here to talk to you about these things.
We want to hear about this.
We care.
The state of our politics doesn't really excite me at the moment.
No, I thought you might want to talk about better GPS systems, and better cartography, description of cartography.
There are bigger issues.
Yeah. Are you sure?
I am very sure.
This is in reference, to our call sheet that we sent out.
We all got our head bashed.
Yeah.
So we
all have addresses and very bare bones instructions on how to get to the studio, which can be challenging in certain situations.
And of course, we take it for granted because we've been here for a week.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
so our apologies. So we're publicly apologizing to the audience for not giving any good directions.
We will improve our direction so that the tragedy that has befallen you, Nadia Daivari, will not happen to someone else.
Well, I have to qualify that. At night in downtown Los Angeles, as a female walking around wondering, I don't really recommend that.
We'll have to adjust for that, and we will. We're on record because this is going to go in the episode. Absolutely. We're on record saying this, so we got to hold true to what we're saying.
Absolutely.
So, with that, I think we've had a great conversation. Anything else you want to add, Nadia, before we move on?
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. Where can people find you if they want to get in touch with you? What's the best way to do that?
I'm at very easy. www.nadiadaivari.com.
Okay, and can you spell that?
Just because, sure. Yeah. Nadia. Daivari.
Got it. Okay. And actually, Devesh, I'm going to have you say, where can you find us online? You have our different places to find us.
That's right. So you can listen to this episode and all of our other episodes on iTunes, on Google Play Music, Spotify, the Google Podcast app, or any app where you like listening to podcasts.
Right. And we didn't get to this earlier, but also, first of all, our website is ah1.live. Mm-hmm. Gina. We didn't really talk about AH1 and our mission with this.
Yeah, so AH1.
Share a few minutes on that. Our affirmation, which Devesh usually talks to talk about, but this is on Gina today.
Yes.
Yeah, so we are a podcast, and we're dedicated to telling stories of the Asian American experience like we have today. And every week we feature a special guest, just like Nadia. And basically what we do is we share the stories and experiences. And we hope that we can connect with our listeners along the way. And we hope that this journey can inspire positive change.
Very much so.
Very eloquently put.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gina. And speaking of thank yous, I would like to give thank you to Vision Communications for having us here in the Potluck Studio. Thank you to Marvin UF for producing. He's been a gem for us every week. So thank you, Marvin. We have another special thank you. We have a blast from the past here to see you today. Hello, Medha. If you guys remember Medha Jayshankar, she's here with us saying hi. She's waving everybody. She's waving, saying hi. She's being a little shy and blushing right now. Hi, Medha. We miss you.
We miss you.
And so this is Pimo.
Be good, y'all.